This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, kicking off hour two here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're getting you ready for Saints and Bucks on Monday Night Football. You're stuck with us, myself, Jeff Nowak, and Steve Geller until 5 p.m. Then we're handing off to the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff crew with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick, as always. And, you know, we referenced this while we were talking to Mike Dettillier. The Saints have elevated wide receiver slash maybe running back Kirk Merritt.
Yeah.
And tight end Lucas Kroll, we had mentioned Lucas Kroll as a potential elevation, and we got it right. So that's you know, check one in that column. But there were two other corresponding moves. The Saints signed cornerback Isaac Yiadom to the active roster. So he was a guy who was elevated last week. I thought he played pretty well. He showed up pretty well on special teams, and that's really what his role will be. So he is going to stick around, at least for this week. And, you know, fan favorite, maybe, probably not. Kevin White, wide receiver, he has been waived. Guy whose hands always make me ring my own. He will not be out there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of navigate that, because whether you like it or not, Kevin White had been very involved as kind of a deep threat and as a blocker in this offense. And I don't know, maybe you shift some of that to Rashid Shaheed in terms of the downfield routes. I sure hope that's the case, because he has been a stud every time they've gotten him involved. But it'll be interesting to see how they kind of navigate that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if Marquez Callaway maybe gets a little more looks. He's been, I think, inactive two of the last three games for the team. It'll be interesting also, Jeff, the secondary now with no Marshawn Lattimore. I think we all thought, after being at least limited again all week at practice, he'd be good to go. But reports are that, you know, he's just not ready yet. So I'm expecting we'll see Adebo along with Alonte Taylor as your outside corners, and then possibly Bradley Roby in the slot?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that, because, yeah, if Bradley Roby is out, then you have some serious questions in the slot. And that's probably, you know, why you signed Isaac Yiadom, and because you did have to bring up Lucas Kroll to fill in, right? So that's probably a part of that, and you felt like Kevin White was that guy who had to make that hit with. But, you know, it's a bummer for the Saints, who are going to have to hear about Mike Evans probably, because, you know, he's a guy who literally could not find any breathing room against Marshawn Lattimore any time they played, to the point that he has taken cheap shots at him multiple times. And so, you know, that's going to be interesting. Can you still lock him down the way you have in the past with Paulson Adebo, with Alonte Taylor, with Chris Harris? And I sure hope they can, because I just don't want to see that guy happy.
No, and maybe, you know, taking away Marshawn from the equation, you put Alonte Taylor in there. I know he's got the swag, the attitude. Maybe he'll be mouthing off with Mike Evans and be able to throw him off his game and, you know, be able to blanket him as well.
Yeah. You know, another guy who I think is interesting to see what his role is, if Pete Werner is able to go. It's another guy who, like Marshawn, you're hoping to get him back, but you're not sure. You know, and that's Cade Nellis. I know Ryan Nielsen talked earlier in the week about, you know, he's earned reps, however that looks with Pete Werner back in the lineup, because obviously Pete Werner is going to step right back into his role at the Will linebacker spot. But I don't think that you can take Cade Nellis off the field as much of the time as you did earlier in the season. You have to find ways to get him involved. He's been that good.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's been definitely a spark out there, someone that you know, quote-unquote, hear always guys talking about flying around the field, but he really has seemingly been everywhere for this team. And, you know, definitely a guy that I would think is one that could help in creating those so necessary takeaways. We've seen him get to the ball, being active in the run against the pass, being able to rush the passer even. Would be curious to find out if Werner is back, how much they're going to use him, and then how do you get both those guys on the field together?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, you got to find ways to get your best players on the field. Like, that's, it's flat out, that's what it's got to be. You know, an interesting thing to look at these last few weeks, right, is, you know, when Dennis Allen went to Andy Dalton, it was about, okay, the offense has looked good. The offense has moved. We're a top 10 offense in rushing, in receiving, or in passing, in scoring. Well, that's all changed. And I start to question whether, you know, the veracity of that statement, right, because it really seems like there's nothing Andy Dalton could do that would to get him off the field. And I'm not saying Andy Dalton has been bad, but, you know, you go back to the game against the Ravens, and I know this because it was the last Monday night game, and I talked about it there. They were the eighth-ranked passing, rushing, and scoring offense in the NFL, right? So you go back a few weeks. Right now, just 4 weeks later, I believe it's 4 weeks later, maybe five, the Saints offense is the 15th overall offense, the number 22 rushing offense, the number 11 passing offense, and the number 21 scoring offense, and that's what's, that'll happen when you put up a goose egg in a game. And so, like, you have watched this offensive efficiency just go down and down and down and down, but you really, it doesn't feel like you've ever really considered changing the quarterback. And so that's what, when I criticize Dennis Allen, I think the inconsistency in, like, what you say versus what happened, I think that's been my biggest gripe in how that quarterback position has been handled.
No, and it certainly doesn't feel like Jameis Winston's someone who's going to be around here next season. I don't know what exactly – I wouldn't say he's fallen out of favor with the coaching staff, but for whatever reason, they definitely seem to favor Andy Dalton over him. And it just – I think a bad performance, though, tonight, if you have like an Arizona Cardinals kind of outing here on Monday Night Football, could – spell the end for Andy Dalton, just because this offense hasn't been very efficient lately. And making a move, I guess, after tonight, if you do lose this game and Dalton has a horrific performance, what else do you have to lose for the rest of the season kind of deal?
I think you're going to keep doing what you're doing.
I mean, I think it's only fair that you at least try to showcase Jameis Winston to a potential team next year. I don't know. It seems odd, his whole situation. And when he talked about his soul hurting him that he wasn't playing in the games, it just made you feel for the guy too. I'm not the hugest Jameis Winston fan, and I don't know if the offense would be any more dynamic with him under center, but I do think they would be able to push the ball downfield a little bit more, obviously. You know, the turnovers are obviously the biggest question with him, and how healthy is he really from that back injury?
Yeah, I mean, my question, if he has a hurt soul, why isn't he on the injury report?
No, that's a great point. There's no soul, there's no back, there's no foot. So I don't know what is hurting Jameis right now, but it's definitely not on the injury report.
Yeah, I don't think he's missing me with an hurt soul. No, it's going to be – this is the first time all season we are seeing the Saints play a team for the second time. Right. They started out with three NFC South matchups in the first 4 weeks, which is really bizarre when you really think about it. And we've gone this long without seeing another one. You know, what, in your estimation, what do you think needs to go differently this time around for the Saints to come out with a win? Because, you know, it's easy to look back and say, oh, they lost 20-10. Man, they got manhandled. They didn't. It was 3-3 with about like 13 minutes left in that game. So, you know, what do you want to see differently from this team than we saw in week two?
It's definitely the turnovers, the fact that, you know, you gave away too many, and the fact that also you're just not getting them back. Something's got to give on that. The Saints got to be clean with the football, not give this ball to Tom Brady and the offense giving them any more opportunities. And then they got to find a way, whether it's an interception or two or getting fumbles, something's got to turn in that turnover margin, which has just been so ridiculous this year. We've talked about it a lot, in the fact that the luck of the bounce just has not gone their way, whether it's something, a ball that comes out on the ground, seems to go right back to the other team, or a ball that's tipped in the air, floating there, the space-time continuum stops, and still the Saints aren't able to get to it, and it falls to the ground. Some way or another, though, that turnover margin has to be skewed to the Saints' favor in this matchup for them to walk out with the victory tonight.
See, I would, you know, I don't expect the turnover thing to change. I think the turnover, if you can go zero, you've won from the Saints' side of things, because you've been so far down on that list that it's like you've just learned how to win. You've learned how to play without any expectation of getting the ball back, right?
So you think if it's even, they can still come out on top?
Yes, because the difference I need to see is you need to play a clean game. You can't turn the ball over, which, you know, I agree with the you can't turn the ball over side of that. But I'm talking more penalties. If you go back to that game, the Saints were off the field on the Bucs, you know, one scoring drive where they got in for a touchdown. Saints were off the field. The punt team was on, and then they got called for a penalty. And that allowed the Bucs to extend that drive, and they ended up getting that touchdown to Breshad Perriman. That was after Marshawn Lattimore had gotten ejected. And you know, that's, to me, is what lost them that game. You were never going to win that game in a blowout. You needed to win that game low scoring. I think you could have won that game, you know, 6-3 if things go a certain way. If Mark Ingram doesn't fumble and you kick a field goal there, that's how good this defense has been against Tom Brady. And I expect it to be the case again, but you cannot bail them out. Are they shooting a cannon behind you, Steve?
Man, they are just going rapid fire just now. They were unloading.
Well, they don't expect to score any times in this game, so they're making sure they get all their firepower out of the way. Because every time the Saints show up,
the annoying part is when they get a first down, they fire it too, which is annoying.
That is annoying. But no, I think to me, that's what the Saints have done well in the games they have won, is they haven't shot themselves in the foot with penalties. You know, turnovers happen, randomness happens. But in the games where they have really been close and not been able to get over the hump, Vikings, right, last week, it's the penalties that really stand out in these really inopportune moments. And I think that's what has to change. And to the team's credit, they have been better in spurts. They have to show that again tonight.
Yeah, and I think someone that's going to have a big turnaround from last week, you know, you saw a terrible outing from Alvin Kamara with those two fumbles going in, you know, coming into this game, you know, he wants to right the wrongs of the game in San Francisco, and I'm expecting a pretty good performance from him tonight. I know the San Francisco run defense was tough. Tampa Bay Buccaneers run defense had been pretty stout in the past and is decent this year, but I think that Kamara is going to find a way tonight to get into the end zone at least twice. I'm calling that at least because, you know, when you see one of your top guys not performing in a game against that was so big against the San Francisco 49ers, I know that it's on his mind and definitely at the forefront of righting those wrongs. And, man, Kamara's just – he's due for another big game. It's been too long.
Yeah, the stars have to show up, and they have to show up in big moments. If you are correct and Alvin Kamara gets two touchdowns today, I've been saying this for several weeks, he will become the Saints' all-time leader in touchdowns.
Well, there we go. Let's do it in Tampa.
Unfortunately, I've had a story written for almost a month now and haven't been able to use it.
Oh.
All right. This is First Take on WWL. Stick around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the most important game because it's the next game. It doesn't matter the opponent. Right now, we have to win, or we're going to be sitting with the same place we were at the end of last year, outside of the playoffs, and that's not where we want to be. We have a chance, and we have to be able to capitalize upon that.
Back here on First Take, Jeff Nowak alongside Steve Geller out in fancy Tampa, Florida. And that's Cam Jordan talking about it doesn't matter who the opponent is, but the benefit for the Saints is it is the Bucs. As crazy as that sounds, because they have been built to beat the Bucs, right? This is a team that they have been able to dominate, even in a loss. Even last year in week two in a loss, they were dominating that game on the defensive side of the ball, and it just, you need an offense that can get enough done. And so we have a text here, 3953 says, did you mean Alvin Kamara's fumble or Ingram? I do not recall Ingram fumbling. So I'm going to do this from memory here. So last week Kamara fumbled. One against the Falcons, Mark Ingram fumbled. It was right. The Falcons took over. That was in the third quarter. I think they were up 23-10 or something like that. The Saints were down. Marcus May came back and forced a fumble of their own. So the Saints actually got out on the right side there. Flash forward a week, the Saints actually got a fumble against the Bucs, but Mark Ingram gave up a fumble deep in Falcons territory in the third quarter as the Saints were going in for a potential score. Now, I think the one that's getting confused is a week later, Calvin Kamara fumbled early in that game, which the Panthers took in for a touchdown, right?
Ugh.
And then Alvin obviously fumbled twice last week. There was another fumble baked in somewhere for Alvin. He has four on the year. I can't quite recall where it is. But yeah, so that's the one we were talking about. We're talking about the fumble by Mark Ingram late in that matchup against the Bucs. Again, Alvin Kamara was out with a rib injury for that game, so it was the Mark Ingram show. And that was, he had a really good game. He had 10 carries for 60 yards. So that's, you know, do the math there. It's pretty simple, 6 yards a carry. But he let them down in a huge moment. And that was really the story in the first half of the season, was these major gaffes in big moments of games you could have won. And it was the guys you're supposed to be able to trust that committed those errors. And so that's when I'm talking about you need to change things up. And Cam is a guy who will always take credit for mistakes. He's not gonna give you any excuses. But, you know, the defense needs to make sure to force turnovers. Like, they have to find a way to do it, and they have to find a way to continue to dominate this matchup against the Bucs and Tom Brady the way they have, and hope the offense can, you know, find a way to put some points on the board.
Yeah, with Kamara, Jeff, it was oddly the very next week against Seattle, but at least the Saints were able to pull out a victory that he lost the fumble.
He fumbled.
So, yeah, it was back-to-back. It was back-to-back weeks, Carolina and then Seattle, and it was like, wait a minute, what's going on with Alvin Kamara?
I don't remember that one. Interesting. But yeah, so I shouldn't have brought it up, because those fumbles last week against the 49ers still make me angry. And it's just frustrating, because like, fumbles are something you should be able to control. Like, that is within your, like, interceptions, you can make a perfect pass and the ball can still get intercepted, right? Fumbles, and you're getting the ball punched out, more often than not, it's because you just weren't securing the ball the right way. And that was the case on the goal line there. Obviously, Talanoa Hufanga put a great hit on the ball, but you know, that's very much on Alvin for trying to fight the way in when you didn't have to. You did not have to score there. It was not a fourth down. You know, he could have just gone down at the one, and then they tried again. Either way, you know, those are the types of mistakes that lose you games, and at this point, a loss will probably end your season.
No, and what'll be a situation where it's not mathematically, but we've talked about it, when you're, you know, down another game, 4-9, and having lost two to the division leader, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, would not be a positive for this team's chances of making the playoffs. And, you know, this Bucs squad, you look at it, I mean, now the matchup against San Francisco doesn't look as intimidating that Jimmy Garoppolo's down, even though the fact that everybody has been banging on Jimmy Garoppolo for most of his career. But now you're turning to a rookie quarterback in Brian Purdy. I think that's Brian Purdy.
It's Brian. Okay. Either way, he's,
I don't know,
Purdy.
I was making up the first name. It just sounded right.
I'll look it up right now. Hold on.
But anyway, yeah.
It is Brock. I was right. It's Brock Purdy.
Brock. Okay, Brock Purdy. You got a rookie there now leading the way. Obviously, you still have tons of weapons at your disposal on offense and a pretty good defense. But then the Bucs also have a matchup against the Bengals, and we know they're coming into their own right now. So this Tampa team does not have an easy road right now. Obviously, the Saints don't either. After the, you know, they get back from the bye week, it's Atlanta, but then those trips to Cleveland and trips to Philadelphia, which just give me the chills already.
Yes. Philadelphia, they're now 11-1. Although, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson might not play in that game either, because he went down with, you know, a kidney injury of his own. I don't know, like, apparently the Saints have done a bad job of preparing players' toes and preparing their kidneys for contact, because it's the second, like, I don't know why these toe injuries and these kidney injuries just keep cropping up, but they happen.
Yeah, and it's really just odd that you mentioned with CJ Gardner-Johnson basically dealing with the same injury as Marshawn Lattimore, and we're seeing how long that it's taken Marshawn to get back. Obviously questionable the past 2 weeks, but still not able to play. That could be a situation for the Eagles where C.J. Gardner-Johnson isn't ready at best to get back for them until it's playoff time.
Yeah, I know he was upset about getting left off the top five players under 25 list, so he can have that.
He's always mad.
I was left off that list, too. You know, maybe it's because I didn't eat enough pizza, right? Because I want to thank the folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our game day crew. That's 1068 Magazine. You can dine in or get delivery. It's the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Plus, Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Check out their website at magazinepizza.com. And Steve, you know, what's the spread like out in Tampa? They have a good spread there for the media? They're taking care of you guys?
Oh, yeah. Every year in Tampa, it's one of the trips you look forward to going to just because they have multiple carving stations with meat ranging from roast beef, turkey, pork, things like that. But it's always a good spread out in Tampa Bay. And what I like to do is stock up on some things in my bag to bring down to the sideline. So when I get hungry, I got stuff with me on the sideline.
He's like a chipmunk. It's just
exactly. I stow it away.
Steve Geller chipmunking over there on the sideline. Tampa has been very hospitable for the Saints. You know, the interesting thing is the last two times the Saints have played the Bucs, Tom Brady has smashed tablets to the point that the NFL has had to come out and say, hey, guys, will you stop smashing our tablets? And it is kind of remarkable when you think about it. Like, Tom Brady is one of the most unflappable guys in terms of, you know, defenses don't continually, you know, he's been able to figure this out. He's been in the league for so long. He's 45 years old for some reason. And I think it's just partially it's the build. It's the interior pressure from the Saints. He has not been able to figure it out. And it's one of the most, you know, as awful as the season has been to watch, you know, being able to flummox Tom Brady is a very nice thing if you're the Saints. You know, it's a point of pride and it makes you feel good even in the season where you're 4-8. I am fascinated.
Frustrated is fantastic. Yeah, with the tossing the tablets, and you mentioned that too. What's weird is both previous times too was against the Bucs and at their house, and it was Sunday night football, not Monday night football, but three straight years of the Saints having to play Tampa in prime time in their stadium.
Yeah, and tonight the Bucs are favored by 3.5. You know, the Bucs too, they're 5-6. They started the season 2-0. So you can do the math there. They are 3-6 in their last 9 games. It feels like the Bucs are the best team in the NFC South, but they haven't played that way, right? This is not a team that has dominated anybody. They had that game against the Browns in hand, and they blew it. You know, and there's a lot of ways that you can lose a game, and the Bucs have found them just like the Saints have. So I don't want to hear about how like the Saints are out of this division because they're not. And it's just going to be, you know, if you go in there and you make that your house again, then we can come home. You know, because the Saints are going on a bye, right? So if you win this game and then you have you have that happy bye week, you know, things can change. And I'm going to continue to be optimistic until I can't be anymore.
Yeah, to me, it's got to be that pressure up the middle, too, in Brady's face. You know, we don't want to get him too comfortable, even though he releases the ball so quickly. And that's why I'm interested to see when this injury report comes out as well. What's the deal with defensive tackles, Malcolm Roach and Catavius Street, both dealing with illnesses this week and are questionable for this matchup? And I mentioned earlier, just this front line hasn't been fantastic this year. So we need all hands on deck, obviously, in this game against Tampa because, you know, pressuring Brady up the middle is so crucial and getting in his face to make him uncomfortable because, like we've mentioned it over and over again, he's not a guy that's going to, you know, scramble out the pocket. He's going to hang in there and make the throw, and it doesn't take him long to decide where he's going.
No doubt. And it sounds like they're singing behind you. We are Oakland Heart.
Yeah, we're getting the national anthem warming up,
gotcha.
The choir.
An Oakland Heart Rolex time check. I'm going to do this on the fly. We are about 2 hours, 38 minutes away from kickoff down in Tampa, Florida.
Good at math.
I have Ian in there giving me a round of applause. So apparently I got that right. We're going to take another break here on First Take. Come back, get you more on the Saints Bucks down in Tampa on Monday Night Football. All right. Getting close to the end here on First Take. My name is Jeff Nowak. I'm alongside Steve Geller. And we'll be up till 5 o'clock, and we'll hand off to the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff crew. That is Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. Kickoff is 7:15 p.m. with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. And then sound off with the Cajun Cannon after the game. You know, one thing that I'm going to question is, Andy Dalton's ability to win when everyone's watching, because he just hasn't done it. And he is, his career record in primetime games, this is insane to me. He's 6-20. 6-20 in primetime games. That's wild. I don't even know how to, like, how does that even happen? Just by the luck of the draw. He's won a lot of games in his career. They just haven't happened. They've only happened on regional broadcasts, apparently.
It gets worse, Jeff. He's 0-12 the last 12 road games in primetime. The sun has set over here in Tampa, and hopefully it does not set on the Saints in this game. But, yeah, we saw it happen already this year, too, with games against the Ravens and Arizona Cardinals.
Yes. And talked to Andy this week about kind of like how the offense is going to look, and here's what he had to say.
I think we knew and we know the missed opportunities we had last week. And I think for us, I think it's something that we can use it as a positive for us, and to know that we had chances in the game, we just didn't make them, and we know and we expect ourselves to make those plays. And so I think that's just the mindset and, you know, the reality of it. And so I think for us, it's good to have that, knowing that let's just go make the plays that are presented to us. And if we do that, we put ourselves in a good place.
So Steve, I have a positive spin on how the Saints can use last week. You want to hear it?
Yeah, hit me.
You physically can't score than zero. You can't score negative. So there's only up from here. It's the only way you can go. You can't go down. That's my positive spin on a shutout.
I guess like a scoop and score or a pick six could be viewed as a negative.
I'm not talking about the other team.
I hear you. On the scoreboard, yeah, you can't put up a negative.
I'm just talking about the scoreboard. I'm talking about primetime Andy Dalton. Can't do worse than zero. And that's how I'm going to look at this. But, yeah, it's – I'm joking, obviously, but I do think the offense – it did not look as bad as a zero. And I hate saying it. It did not look as bad as a zero might indicate, right? Like, you spent the entire second half – in 49ers territory. The issue is your red zone efficiency, and in that case, it was touchdown or nothing. Like, in a lot of cases, you would still say, wow, we did not get the job done in the red zone, even if you settled for field goals. In that game, you didn't even bother with the field goal, so that's why it looks worse. But you move the ball. You know, like, the 49ers did not really do that much on offense that you were unable to match, other than getting to the end zone. And, you know, that's where not having Juwan Johnson, it makes it difficult, because you know, he's been your touchdown guy, and so maybe Taysom Hill can kind of get back to his touchdown ways. It's been a while since he's gotten into the end zone. You got to find ways to score.
My fantasy team agrees.
You got to find ways to score. You got to put up at least three, and, you know, they really have to be sevens. And that's the last few weeks, that's been the most frustrating thing, is this team had been efficient in the red zone. They'd used Taysom Hill really well. They'd found ways to manufacture offense on early downs and get in there. And that's why you could look at Alvin Kamara's touchdown total, which is still three. It was three before he scored three, and now it's three in week 13. And you could say, well, Taysom Hill's stealing all his touchdowns. Well, that hasn't been the case the last few weeks. They just haven't gotten to the end zone. And, you know, if that continues tonight and you are unable to get on the board, I don't know how you win this game.
Yeah, because, you know, getting the turnovers, like I said, has been an issue all year. I would love to say that somehow there's a pick six or a scoop and score by the Saints defense, but there's not a lot of confidence in what we've seen so far this season with the ball bouncing their way. I don't know if we can see that dynamic of Taysom and Andy Dalton on that level it was in that Rams game. I just think that matchup and what the Rams are dealing with right now really allowed them to have that success. I know the 49ers were locked in on Taysom last game, and they just drilled them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's tough because in that week 2 matchup, Taysom was hurt, right?
Right.
So it's hard to look back on that and say, oh, man, well, he wasn't effective. He's still got to try it in this one. Hopefully he can get it done. But yeah, it kind of feels like if the defense ever does score a touchdown, it'll feel like the Saints it was worth 28 points, right? Like, if the Saints score a touchdown on defense, they will win, because it's like just free money, because you just haven't got it all year. And man, it's kind of, I do feel bad, because I think this defense has been playing well, and like Alante Taylor got his interception taken away on like one of the weakest illegal contact penalties you'll ever see. And it's like, it should happen. It should happen. You keep saying they're going to come in bunches. They're going to come in bunches.
Yeah.
I don't know where this bunch is waiting, because it definitely hasn't been the first 12 weeks of the season. He's just like, I mean, you got
the last takeaway this team got was back in week 8
against
the Raiders.
That's insane.
That's just way too long.
That's crazy.
And we've seen the opportunities. They just have not gone the Saints' way for whatever reason, whether it's the bad bounce or a penalty has taken away, you know, turnovers from this team. And it's been something all year long that's been lingering around, and definitely a huge negative on why they've struggled so much against teams.
Yeah, I think we had the Ryan Nielsen bite earlier, where he talked about how David Onyemata literally had a ball thrown into his face and it popped up straight in the air. And you're like, it's coming, we got one. And then the 49ers player, give him credit, he made a good play on the ball, knocks it down, and it's just like, come on. That's supposed to be, you know, you've gone 13 weeks, you have 2 interceptions, which is like crazy to even think about, and you can't even get that? Ugh, that's just like not your year. It's kind of like, you know, you watch the LSU-Georgia game, and Jack Besh has to bounce off the back of his head, and you're like, this is stuff that happens for everyone else. Why can't it happen for the Saints one time? Oh, it's
no, for sure.
You can tell my state of sanity is getting thinner and thinner and thinner every time I watch these. I think it's going to happen today. I think it's going to come together today, because
it has to.
The Bucs are, believe it or not, in worse shape than the Saints are. You know, they actually do have Julio Jones. That'll be interesting to see if he can continue his old ways against the Saints. But you know, I do think I'm a hopeless optimist, I guess. I think they win this game. I think they get it together, and I think they're going to win the NFC South. I really do.
I'm just an optimist just because it's, you know, we're at the desperate of most desperate times right now with this team. You know, you could say you're not mathematically eliminated if you lose this game, but come on, you might as well start pouring, you know, looking at the next season already, because two behind Tampa, well, 2.5 games technically, I guess, behind Tampa in the division, but having lost both of the division leader, if you drop this one, would not be a favorable outcome.
Yeah, losing that tiebreaker would do it, yeah.
You know what? You could very well see all of a sudden Tampa Bay loses a game to San Francisco, and then they lose to Cincinnati, and then you're talking about how, you know, New Orleans is still in the thick of things.
But I will not say that. I'll say it right now. I don't care how mathematically not eliminated they are. If they lose this game, I will not talk about how the Saints still have a chance. You have my word.
Even if it's
true, I don't care.
Even if the Bucs go on like this torrid losing skid.
The Saints could win the NFC South, and I would still be talking about how I don't care. They're not going to win the NFC South. That's how dedicated to this take I'm going to be.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's hope that we don't have to get that route and they get this win tonight, because, man, the whole win one game, lose two has been a bad, you know, I guess you would say, streak that the team has gone on this year, and I just would like to snap that as well, along with, you know, being able to win two in a row. But it just seems like this team has just, they've won one, lost two, won one, lost two. That whole shtick has to end.
But what's the saying? You can't win two until you win one? Well, they haven't won. They need to win one today before they can win two. I think that's what we're looking at in this game. And the crazy thing is,
we keep saying that, though.
That one win will feel like 10, and it'll feel like it changes everything. But, all right, we're getting close to the end here on First Take. Keep it locked on WWL. All right, coming back in here to close out First Take, getting you ready for Saints Bucks on Monday Night Football. And we've got Christian Garrick ahead of the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. He tells me he has a stat that I'm going to want to hear. What is it?
You and Steve were talking about consecutive wins, and it hasn't happened all year for the Saints, right? So last time the Saints have gone this deep into a season without winning consecutive games, care to guess the year?
2006.
2005, Hurricane Katrina. The last time the Saints have gone 12 weeks without a road win, 1999, the final year of Mike Ditka.
That's a long time.
Happened this year.
Yeah.
We're going on 12 weeks.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you think?
I'm feeling good about tonight. I think that they're obviously a desperate team, and I know Tampa is too. And unfortunately, they had that huge letdown against the Browns, which doesn't make things any easier. But I think this Saints team finds a way. Dennis Allen has had success against, you know, Tom Brady in the past. I think he's got the defensive map for it, and they find a way to pull it out, a low-scoring 13-10 type game.
I'm going 9-0. I'm doing a shutout again. It's happening. It's happening, baby. It's either 9-0 or 38-3. Those are the only two scores that can happen when the Saints go to Florida. That's my thing. I'm sticking to it. All right, you've been listening to The First Take. My name is Jeff Nowak. Alongside Steve Geller, I want to thank everyone who makes this broadcast possible. Kevin Cassidy, Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Charlie Long sitting there at Master Controls now, but it was Ian until a few minutes ago, so he gets credit for that. But all right, y'all, be easy. Go Saints.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.